This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Economic news as the nation's economic growth slowed in the year's second quarter, but not by as much as analysts were expecting to see in today's Commerce Department report. The agency says the GDP growth from April through June was 2.1%. That was down from 3.1% in the year's first quarter. Consumer spending kept growth from slowing more than it did. A bill extending funding to sickened 9/11 first responders that many believed was going to be signed by President Trump today is now going to be signed by the president on Monday. Immigration officials say a record number of unaccompanied migrant children have crossed into the United States at the southern border since October. They've pegged the number at 61,000. That's 2,000 more than the previous record set during the entire 2016 fiscal year. This is USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to give expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
On the heels of renewed missile testing by North Korea, a U.S. official now reportedly says Iran has test-fired a medium-range ballistic missile that traveled over 600 miles. CNN reporting the unnamed official has confirmed the launch. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says if it's true, he wouldn't be surprised.
They continue to engage in malign activity. They continue to build out their missile program. They continue to work on their nuclear systems. And yet they want to tell the world that, no, they're just defensive and they're just being a normal nation, and we all see differently.
He spoke on Hannity on Fox. Republican Senator Mitt Romney against a budget deal that he says will add trillions of dollars to the national debt. He says the deal reached by President Trump and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi perpetuates fiscal recklessness. John Fogerty, the first musician to publicly back out of Woodstock 50 now that the fest is apparently going to be held in Maryland instead of New York. This is USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
For the first time, there is at least one woman on every S&P 500 company's board of directors. Online auction website Copart, naming Diane Moorfield as one of its directors earlier this week, it was the last of the nation's top 500 companies to have an all-male board. It became the last one when TripAdvisor appointed two women to its board in March. S&P Global Market Intelligence claiming that 56% of the firms on the index have at least three female directors, a 19% increase from 3 years ago. A University of Mississippi fraternity suspending three of its students who posed with weapons in front of a memorial sign to Emmett Till that had bullet holes in it, the sign marking the spot where Till's body was recovered in 1955. The 14-year-old Chicago boy was visiting family in Mississippi when a gang of white men abducted, tortured, and ultimately murdered him. One of the men in the photo is holding a shotgun, a second holding an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, and it appears the third is not holding a weapon. And President Trump is blasting Sweden after officers there decided to press assault charges against rapper ASAP Rocky. He's already been held in a Swedish jail for 3 weeks after being involved in a confrontation in Stockholm, Trump tweeting, "The U.S. does so much for Sweden, but it doesn't seem to work the other way around." For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention timeshare owners. Are high maintenance fees driving you crazy? Well, how would you like to rent or even sell your timeshare and eliminate your maintenance fees? Now you can by making one quick call to Timeshares by Owner, a national company with an A+ BBB rating that specializes in helping consumers sell or rent their timeshares. And if you call right now, we'll give you a free timeshare market evaluation and explain to you our exclusive double your money back guarantee. Now you don't need to be wasting money on a timeshare you don't always use. You can rent or even sell it. Call right now and get your free market report and learn about our industry-leading double your money back guarantee. Learn your options now on how to sell or rent your timeshare and eliminate most of the cost and headaches. Call now. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Live. Hey, it's the way we roll, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome aboard 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Well, we got the quarter two report on the economy. Not quite as bad as they thought, but still down nonetheless. We were told, we knew earlier from the first quarter, we were at 3.1, 3.2. Now they were saying could be as low as 2.1, but we came in at 2.6. With us right now is Chris Mackey. He is the founder of Solutionomics, a nonpartisan platform dedicated to developing and disseminating common sense innovative solutions for creating a more dynamic American economy. Here, Chris. Welcome to the show. Always want to talk about a more dynamic American economy.
It's great to be with you and your listeners. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about Solutionomics.
Sure. You know, Solutionomics is about opportunity. The economic and political shortcomings others bemoan, and understandably so, I see those as opportunities for America. See those as opportunities for America to improve and achieve its economic potential. And Solutionomics is really about capitalizing on those opportunities. I call it a solution tank rather than a think tank because it's about advancing solutions and not political ideologies.
Well, and this is part of the challenge that we have right now with our economy is politics is enmeshed too much into it. I know as a businessman, you probably feel the same way, Chris, is that I'm in for making hay while the sun shines, and we've got some sun shining here, but for some politics, this resistance is costing the American people a lot of money in my estimation.
What resistance are you referring to?
Well, I'm talking about the political side. I mean, instead of, getting on with the business of trade, taking care of some of these issues in our government that are costing us money, we seem to be quite frivolous with the people's monies these days.
Well, and, my background is 27 years in business and finance, and, the lens I look at everything through is ROI or return on investment.
Exactly.
And so that really is at the heart of Solutionomics because, it's not about the left, it's not about the right, it's about ROI and the American taxpayer. And so one of the ways that I've found you can bridge the political gap is to say, okay, let's leave our political ideologies at home. Mm-hmm. Instead, let's use an objective third-party metric like return on investment. So that's one way to deal with that so that you can say, okay, I hear your idea and I hear your idea, but now let's check the return on investment for the American taxpayer. That's one way to get around it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. I've shared with my audience on many occasions. My old mentor used to say to me, your charm is only as good as your bottom line. So in a sense, that's what it all comes down to, right?
That's the truth.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. And You know, that's where, again, return on investment is the bottom line. You know, we've got so much today where, you know, people are angling for their own political self-interest and political agendas. And again, you know, I'm just fairly straightforward, and I sat back and looked at this and said two things. One, there's a lot of missed opportunities, which is why I took the time to pursue Solutionomics. And second, I looked at it and said, you know, we got to get away from the left and the right. And the old,
right.
same old tropes that they come up with and the same old ideologies and say, let's inject a little return on investment in here and see if we can make some headway that way and create some accountability.
Mm. Well, you know, I'm tracking with you, you know, all eight wheels. I'm right with you on this because, you know, I look at our government right now, and instead of getting us on the same track, you know, together, you know, we share in a show, you know, e pluribus unum, you know, with the many, there's one, but you got to understand what the one is. And if the one is the survival of the American way of life, and the American economy, you know, every idea that comes into the spectrum, it has to be looked at. Does it add or take away from the proposition? Does it not?
Yes. And when we are sitting here with our infighting and turning against each other, other countries are eating our lunch. Let me give you one
exactly.
fact here. In 2018, 13 out of the 15 largest economies we traded with sold more goods to us than we did to them. Now, to put that in sports terms, if that were an NFL team, that record would be 2 wins, 13 losses. Now, that's unacceptable, and any coach with that record would be fired. So the first thing we all have to do is get on the same page and say, look, this isn't about me, this isn't about the right, this isn't about the left, this is about America and about the American taxpayer. That's the first step that we need to take. And then, again, I know I keep repeating this, but one of the ways that you can actually make that happen is to say, okay, we're all going to agree that return on investment is the best metric to use, so we can start evaluating policy based on that rather than how can I get ahead politically or how can I make the other guy look bad.
Well, there was so much about the economy and the political landscape that, you know, in my terms, in marketing terms, we look at it in terms of being transactional. It's low-lying fruit. It's something that can be done very quickly. And I think Donald Trump went for that because it's easy stuff, you know, thinking that, okay, this would be academic. This all makes sense. You know, it's inarguable. But then you bring in, as you say, a left and right ideological mentality, and then you get this resistance that takes place. And, you know, and then here we are. We're fighting for ROI as opposed to, you know, being beyond this. We should be so many stages beyond this. I've said repeatedly, if we had our acts together, the USMCA trade deal with Mexico and Canada would be done. The president could have moved on already to do to solidify some trade deals in Europe, also Japan, to where you imagine if those deals are set, how much pressure does that put on China to finally, you know, come into the fold? And, you know, not that it could be 100%, but I think it would improve our ROI greatly and do something about, you know, about the scoreboard where America continues to take it on the chin here. What do you say?
What I say is that I agree with you that something needed to be done. And, you know, we just have to say, look, what we're doing isn't working. And if we can get these trade deals with the other trading partners that you mentioned, that would allow the focus on China. And, you know, one of the most basic things out there is that, you know, I always get into this discussion or hear the discussion is, well, we can't do this tariff or we can't do that quota because it's protectionist. And one of the things that I would like people to understand is that all countries are protectionist.
Yes.
So why are we the only country carrying that banner? You know, if I'm playing a game, I want to be playing by the same rules.
And exactly. Let's level the playing field. Yes, exactly. Right.
Exactly. So one very simple thing, one very simple solution we talk about is to say, look, we don't need even punitive tariffs. We need reciprocal tariffs. So simply say, look, we're going to make our tariffs equivalent to the tariffs that other countries are placing on us. That's not protectionist. That's self-defense. And so That is a way that you can start the process objectively saying to other countries, look, we're not trying to be punitive here. We're not trying to even get an advantage. What we're trying to do is we're trying to level the playing field. Now, one of the keys to that for business is to make sure that the business community understands this will be done over a time frame that will
exactly
allow you to adjust your supply chain accordingly.
Right. Chris, we've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Chris Mackey after this. Stay with us.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Are you making payments on high-interest credit cards in your mortgage but feel like you aren't making a dent? If you're like most homeowners, you're getting a ton of calls to refi, but no one can help you save money, right? You're in luck. Our friends at Network Capital help their clients save on their debt payments an average of $528 a month. That's right. Refi those debts and you could save an average of $528 a month. That's over $6,300 a year, which could also improve your FICO scores. Call 800-700-8068 now. Network Capital Funding Corporation is a direct lender and their process is fast, simple, and secure. We urge you to call our friends at Network Capital now. 800-700-8068. Can you imagine what you could do with an extra $528 a month? Give them a call right now. 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
Can't stand the heat? Get out of the kitchen. Bill Martinez, live.
It's kind of lead follower, get the heck out of the way, as they say, at least in the world that I came from. It's 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent we are. Corporate investment strategist Chris Mackey is with us, also the founder of Solutionomics. Chris, we were talking a little bit about the trade, but I also wanted to get involved in the discussion.
the corporate tax policy changes and how that affects economic and employment growth.
Well, you know, interesting, that's a great segue from the trade because they actually can be related. You know, one of the ideas is in addition to trade, corporate tax policy can be very helpful as it relates to our competitiveness globally. Let me give you an example. If we were to say to companies, we're going to base your tax rate on the number of jobs you create in America, the wages you pay in America, the percentage of Americans or the percentage of your workforce that are employed in the U.S., that provides a real incentive for companies to do more of their production in the U.S. And the beauty of it is that has nothing to do with engaging in a trade war with other countries. So you get around that issue.
Right.
It's also very direct because what's the thing we want? We want more jobs, we want more better paying jobs, and we want higher wages. So that's something that while everybody talks about global trade in the context of tariffs and whether or not they're good or bad, is actually something we can do. It doesn't even involve other countries.
Exactly.
Corporate tax policy.
You see, to me, that's some of that transactional thinking that I was referring to that is there. That to me, that's easy enough deal. We don't have to get I don't think we have to get Congress involved in that, do we?
Well, in that we would, because then you'd be talking about corporate tax policy. But here's the good thing. You know, through the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act, we've already kind of agreed that, hey, something needed to be done with the tax code. The challenge or the missed opportunity was that they cut the taxes, but then there were no requirements for anybody to actually increase jobs or increase wages. So what you had was you basically said we're going to have universal and unconditional corporate tax cuts. So companies, if you want to go out there and you want to lay off Americans or you want to move production overseas, you can still do that and still receive the tax cut. What I'm talking about is back from my days in the world of business, it's all about return on investment. We're saying, look, if you increase the employment in the U.S. and if you increase the wages, hey, we're going to lower your corporate tax rate. And if not, we won't. Now, here's the beauty of that. That means that the tax cuts that went to the companies that didn't increase hiring and wages or actually decreased or fired Americans, all of those tax dollars or savings could go to the companies that did or would. And
right.
That creates an even greater incentive.
Well, and in a sense, doesn't this, you know, the Democrats were complaining because it was a loss of income, because anything that has to do with taxes and it doesn't come into their side. But doesn't the, you know, this tax policy that you're proposing here, doesn't this pay for itself in a sense with increased number of jobs and the percentage of workforce?
Well, what it does is it guarantees that in return for the tax cuts, we're getting everything you just said, greater jobs, greater wages, which increases the tax base. And so it's a way to say to the Democrats who are skeptical, hey, you know what? Okay, we understand. Let's just make a contingent on doing this. And it says to the Republicans, we understand you think that this will create jobs and will create higher wages. Let's just make it conditional. So that if it happens, great, and if not, it won't. So it's a way to also bridge that gap between the two.
Exactly. Yeah, what's wrong with making it conditional? I mean, we just raised the debt limit, and, there was no conditions to it. You know, even with the 9/11 bill that was passed, that's we're going to pay for it all the way to 2070. I said, we're going to pay for it. It's our great-grandkids are going to pay for it through 2070. And they let go of the oversight. So some of these things that I think that are properly should be properly instituted, and experience has taught us that. And of course, the old business axiom that people do that which they get rewarded for, right? So why not reward them for the right behavior?
Incentives are key.
Yes,
that is absolutely a driving force when you look at people's behavior. And so, again, I'm just going back to my days of real world experience, being in the business sector and the finance sector. That incentives make the difference. It's, you know, you can't say to them, "Hey, you know what? We're gonna do this, whatever it is, and we're gonna hope you do that."
Mm-hmm.
No, that's irresponsible legislating. You got to say, "We're gonna do this if you do that. That is just a logical approach.
Mm-hmm. And the challenge we have with the political system that we're working with today is that it can be cumbersome, but we've got to start somewhere. And even like this corporate tax policy, which I think is brilliant. I mean, it makes too much sense, but that's something that should be employed right away. You know, I'm just saying, Chris, you're brilliant.
I got a story for you about that. About it makes too much sense. So I was on the Hill, I think it was last year, maybe the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with a congressional staffer, and I was explaining this concept of what I call the Earned Corporate Tax Cut, or ECTC.
Mm-hmm.
And the staffer just paused, looked at me with a very forlorn face, and said, "Congress just doesn't think that way." And I said, "Well, it's about time they do, because we need a lot more ROI in their thinking."
Exactly.
Now, what that means is, that means there's an opportunity for improvement. Because when let me just say one more thing. When I stepped back and I looked at the country and I saw that we had the rising deficits and we were just missing the mark on our economic potential, I basically did an analysis like a consultant would do of a corporation. I said, okay, how's the management? How's their pricing policy? How's their global trade policy? And what I found was they were doing a lot of things wrong, which gave me a lot of optimism that, okay, we got these deficits, we're not achieving the economic growth potential that we could, et cetera, but that's because there's a lot we're doing wrong. And I'm saying this because I hope your listeners will then get engaged, seeing, yes, there is a lot we can do, and it's through their getting engaged in the process and them saying to their elected officials, these are solutions that we want and you should be talking about, that we can actually transform this into change.
Exactly. Well, what about, Chris, bring it down even, you know, to the lowest common denominator? And this is almost at the risk of sounding a bit communistic, but I think what we fail to lose out, you know, or mistranslate here is, first of all, the size of government that we can afford and what do we want to pay for, and also the universal potential of the labor force that we have here. What is the, you know, ramification of a an individual GDP rating of what an individual could bring to the dance in terms of ROI? And if people understood that, would that be, I mean, if you're playing a game and you realize, hey, this is what it takes to score, and if you're one that's scoring, you kind of feel a little bit better about it, and you're incentivized to do more scoring, are you not?
Well, you are, and here's the thing. I'm so glad you brought up this subject, because one of the things I talk about in my book that's coming out in September, the same name, is expanding the middle class. And, you know, it just drives me crazy that we have human capital that is not achieving its full potential because of a variety of reasons. You know, there are so many more, you know, Steve Jobs and Thomas Edison's and Elon Musk's and other great innovators and job creators out there that are just not achieving their potential, that is a great way to expand the GDP and the GDP per capita. And one of the ways to do that is to get a better ROI in our Pell Grants. So we have Pell Grants, which are basically, you know, Pell Grants are for people who go to school and then they don't have to pay for it. The challenge we've got right now, we're giving more of that money to for-profit colleges, which aren't getting as good a return as the community colleges. So if we reverse that, give more money to the community colleges, we get a better ROI for the American taxpayer, and we get more economic growth.
This doesn't make sense. I mean, what a waste of money. Why would we continue to waste money? But it's just, as the one staffer said, Congress just doesn't think that way, right? Once, you know, like Ronald Reagan said, you know, bureaucracy is the closest thing to eternal life here, this side of heaven, I guess, you know, so.
In so many words, an opportunity to make things better.
Hey, I'm optimistic. I'm with you. I appreciate your insight here. Chris Mackey, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Go to solutionomics.org for more information. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Attention. This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Economic news as the nation's economic growth slowed in the year's second quarter, but not by as much as analysts were expecting to see in today's Commerce Department report. The agency says the GDP growth from April through June was 2.1%. That was down from 3.1% in the year's first quarter. Consumer spending kept growth from slowing more than it did. A bill extending funding to sickened 9/11 first responders that many believed was going to be signed by President Trump today is now going to be signed by the president on Monday. Immigration officials say a record number of unaccompanied migrant children have crossed into the United States at the southern border since October. They've pegged the number at 61,000. That's 2,000 more than the previous record set during the entire 2016 fiscal year. This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's great to have you along with us sharing a party today. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. My good friend Sargas Sangari, the lieutenant colonel, is with us, and we're going to be talking foreign policy. He says that when it comes to foreign policy, you must understand backyard wars, and this is what's been going on in the Middle East for a long time. He is Iranian-born, former U.S. Army lieutenant colonel. He understands how Iran thinks and what America's response should be. Sargas, good to have you back with us. How are you, sir?
It's good to be here. It's been a while, Bill.
Yeah, too long. But, hey, let's get about the people's business here. It's a simple proposition as you lay it out. It seems that... here we are with the West trying to get involved in the Middle East, and or not even trying, we're involved in the Middle East. And, for you, understanding, the mindset, the worldview of the Middle East, some of this stuff has to be like chalk hitting the chalkboard in the wrong direction. And along with that, we're seeing, American resources, blood and treasure, in a sense, being expended unnecessarily at times. Is that fair?
It is fair, and that's one of the reasons I'm involved in what I am involved in, because, I've had a lot of friends who have sacrificed downrange, including losing their life. So We want to make sure that U.S. comes out a winner at the end, and that region finally gets to a functional democracy. With that said, there's a lot of steps that we've taken, a strong position of coming to the table to negotiate with Iran.
Right. When you mention backyard wars, help our audience understand what you mean by that.
I tried to explain it from a simple perspective. Most people do have backyards in their own houses. And the way I explain it to folks is that if a critter, a squirrel, comes into your backyard and tries to attack your apple tree, you take certain steps against it. Well, oral polities are the same. They're just individuals that are looking at protecting their backyards. And for U.S., Venezuela would be its backyard. For China, North Korea would be its backyard. But these backyards have also extended and become larger, given the fact that now we have an economy globally that's so intertwined, to include the fact that you have a Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which when Russia goes into Venezuela, brings Iran, brings China with it. And then the fights that are taking place globally have additional friction points that we have to address when it comes to our backyards.
Well, and the thing that's tough is that when it gets like that, Sargas, is that then it's not neighbor to neighbor. A neighbor to neighbor might be an easier way to solve the problem, but when you have other interests coming in, hey, I mean, with each interest, you could have a uh-oh moment that, you know, something's fired off, they didn't mean to do it, and you ignite something, and next thing you know, you got a firestorm on your hands.
Yeah, you do. And the other piece to it is that we see our backyards as an extension of our homes. Mm-hmm. However, the states that we see as our backyard do not see themselves as a backyard. Hence why Iran is bucking against the U.S. and the Persian Gulf, and why it is possible that it's even bucking against the U.K., one of our allies, when it comes to some of the deals that they're trying to strike economically within the region.
A lot of pressure on Iran. The mullahs are responding, the Ayatollah. You know, you have a sense, and you would know better than I certainly. But Sargas, you have this sense that they're getting desperate. These sanctions upon the country have been taking a big toll, and you don't have a lot of happy campers there on the streets of Iran, do you?
No, you don't. I mean, there's no money flowing through the process. There have even been a reduced barter system when it comes to land issues. With that said, you have moderates. They're fighting the, for the better term, the extremists within Iran. And this internal struggle is still taking place. Then you have Iran fighting against Saudi Arabia, trying to be the leader of Islam. And then you have the U.S., Russia, and China jockeying to be able to be the global leader within the region, to include the Europeans trying to get a better footprint for themselves economically, which is why UK, France, and Germany are bypassing our sanctions against Iran.
Is Iran being forced into a nuclear corner here in as much as that they figure, well, if they're not able to arrive to full nuclear capacity, that they're just going to be, you know, subjected to too much against them, that this is a fight for survival. Is this the way they're seeing it?
Not for the moderate, but for the extremists, yes.
Yes,
because they
right.
know at the end of the day, if there's a regime change, there's going to be a lot of blood, and there's going to be their blood in the streets. However, if they can get to a position where they could get back to the negotiation tables like they did before and strike a better deal for them, and they still become the leader of Islam within the Middle East, then it's okay because they've been able to achieve a victory and they've been able to at least retain their power structures within the Iraqi government, I should say Iranian government, with just simple transitional viewpoints taking place internally that would finally take the old-timers off the picture and then bring some new blood into the Iranian politics.
In reality, do you see them ever foregoing their nuclear ambitions?
No, not the not the extremists, because their focus has always been the destruction of the state of Israel, and they know that a nuclear weapon gives them that leverage. Because of that, you know, you have to somehow transition the extremists out of the picture, whether it be an internal issue or be with these pressures that we're putting on them. When the U.S. And President Trump put sanctions against the Supreme Leader of Iran, he also highlighted the fact that there is an individual who says that I am the lead for Islam, fighting against the United States, but yet he's got all his money that he's taken from the Iranian people invested in major Western companies that are profiting him directly.
Well, it was reported that Iran fired off a couple of missiles last night. What are you seeing? Is this just saber rattling on their part? Because they got to feel some pressure. You've got these, whether it's England, the United States saying, okay, maybe we need to, start escorting, boats, tankers, through the Strait of Hormuz because we can no longer accept, Iranian rebels, coming in and, confiscating these tankers.
Everything that is happening because it's part of this negotiation process. Even war eventually is a negotiation to get to the peace table. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that we don't have to get to that point. What is internally happening with Iran and some of the steps they're taking has a lot to do with them trying to jockey themselves to be in a better position for this future negotiation that will
exactly.
take place on a new deal.
Yeah, because they're, as you said, they're fighting for their survival. What's the alternative here? And somehow, to be forced, they're getting compelled to come to the bargaining table one way or another. It's just a matter of how much leverage will they bring to that bargaining table. And with Donald Trump calling the question in the manner in which he has, what's the best that Iran could probably get from the U.S. right now and the Trump administration?
I think Iran would like to see us to get to a treaty. The problem is that would have to be within Congress. And the way Congress is eating each other out, there's no way possible for us maybe to get that position. Iran has already struck a deal with U.S., so it's in a strong position. When we broke the deal with Iran, they were put in a stronger position because their issue is that, okay, we're going to come to the table. We're going to strike a deal with this administration. Give us a guarantee that the next administration will not come in and break that deal either. So hopefully we can get to a treaty possible.
Well, it has to be confirmed in Congress. That was the problem you had, is this was all done unilaterally by the Obama administration. There was no approval. I mean, we had money being shipped in pallets in the dark of night. And this arrangement that people said, whoa, this is crazy. John Kerry saying, oh, it's the best thing since ever. And Donald Trump comes in and goes, this is the worst deal ever. So that's why he exited stage left. Our conversation with Sargas Sangari will continue. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Are you making payments on high-interest credit cards and your mortgage, but feel like you aren't making a dent? If you're like most homeowners, you're getting a ton of calls to refi, but no one can help you save money, right? You're in luck. Our friends at Network Capital help their clients save on their debt payments an average of $528 a month. That's right. Refi those debts and you could save an average of $528 a month. That's over $6,300 a year, which could also improve your FICO scores. Call 800-700-8068 now. Network Capital Funding Corporation is a direct lender and their process is fast, simple, and secure. We urge you to call our friends at Network Capital now. 800-700-8068. Can you imagine what you could do with an extra $528 a month? Give them a call right now. 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
When you have
have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, the Savior, he's a prison-shaking Savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
Oh, if you need freedom. The very things that matter to all Americans. This is Bill Martinez. It's what we're all about at 14 minutes before the top of the hour. He is the CEO of the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement and the founder of the nonprofit, the Assyrian Initiative. He is also Iranian-born, former U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel. Sargis Sangeri continues with us. Sargis, you and I have discussed, in fact, have supported you with the Assyrian Initiative, and it's been a while since we had an update on it, and, you know, it's been very... very concerning because of the Assyrian genocide that has been taking place. And, this is, for you, a desperate call that we need to do something, for the Assyrians before it's too late, if we're, not beyond the tipping point already.
We are probably beyond the tipping point, Bill. And I will tell you, as I've told the Assyrians, your past is a harbinger of your future. And we are right now at a point where we're probably expecting another Assyrian genocide, probably within the next 10 years, if not earlier. I don't know if there's going to be any Assyrians that are going to be left in the Middle East when that next genocide takes place. But that said, first of all, very much thank you, Bill, for everything you did for us. When you helped us, especially on the fundraising effort, you saw how some of the key U.S. leaders came to call to say support the United Assyrian Appeal. We had still guys on the battlefield at that time. We had pulled the Assyrian army off the battlefield because the Sunni Muslim Kurds and the Arab Sunnis and Shia in Iraq are intent on killing each other in the future. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to be part of that fight.
Exactly.
However, the multi-families have been returning now to Assyrian in the plane, and we're trying to get at least support for them to be able to build their houses and start some development back in that region. Mm-hmm. The problem is any organization that we've had that have supported Assyrian people in the Middle East, include the Assyrian Church of the East, have always been under very strict requirements. recently the British placed sanctions on the Syrian Church of the East, which had initially given money to release his hostages. Now, the Sunni Muslim Kurds gave money to release the Yazidi hostages. Yazidi organizations did so. Many other organizations have spent money. You talked in the last segment yourself about the fact that you had the British oil tankers being captured by the Iranians because the British had taken an Iranian oil tanker. Well, the British were using that Iranian oil tanker to negotiate the release of their hostages. Unfortunately, when it comes to the Syrian Christians, you get sanctions placed on you by Western powers because you tried to get some of your people released as far as hostages are concerned. No money and support comes for Syrian military force structures because you tell them that you have to be under the Hashi-Shabi, which is State Department told us under Obama, and the current State Department has placed sanctions against them and put some of those individuals on the targeting list. And when they have been told to go and join the force structures for the Peshmerga to be under the Kurdish force structures, they have turned around and not providing any funding and support that would trickle down to the Syrian forces to begin with. So this is what the Syrian Christians are going through, and let's be factual about one thing, that since 2003, with the U.S. military in full force being in Iraq under the previous administration, even under Bush's administration, and has some force structures currently under current administrations, with the EU being in Iraq, with NATO being in Iraq, with other key allies that are not part of NATO being in Iraq, Assyrian Christians went from 1.5 million to barely 150,000 remaining. And this genocide has continued on the watch of the Western nations because we just do not support the Christians in the Middle East.
And all this property that was controlled by the Assyrians, I mean, this is, ancient Mesopotamia. I mean, this is, you talk about the richness of culture that is right there in Assyria. That's all being absorbed. And, gosh, the Assyrians must feel like, you know, they're the worst of the worst. I mean, it's like, why are they so meaningless and inconsequential?
Their meanings are inconsequential because people within the bureaucratic systems have struck deals with others that they cannot rely upon. But it's very hard once you go to your boss and say, hey, I think you should work with the Sunni Muslim Kurd, and then you realize that the Sunni Muslim Kurd is the reason why Iran has been able to move its missile systems into the hands of Hezbollah in Lebanon because they literally use northern Iraq and Highway Number 2 to do that. Mm-hmm. It is very difficult to say you need to support the Muslim Sunni Kurds when you realize that ISIS was moving oil tanker trucks, Lebanese plated, to northern Iraq, which is under Kurdish control administered region, into Turkey, and Turkey was turning around selling that oil for cheap to the Europeans. Mm-hmm. It is very difficult to go and say, hey, sir, you know, that decision I made a long time ago, we might want to switch off and move off of that decision, because people at the end of the day care more about their jobs than they and their promotions than they care about the fact that they may have to go to their boss telling them we made a mistake here, let's readjust.
Exactly. Sargis, it almost seems like, if I can say this, the Assyrians, you know, their land just happens to be in the wrong place. I mean, they're in the crossroads, in the hotbed, and they're caught in the crossfire of, I mean, you talk about backyards. I mean, when you're in a neighborhood and you're sharing a backyard with all these antithetical forces, and some of this stuff, it almost seems, if I might be so naive to suggest, that it's a bit nuanced, but it's nuanced enough to put the Assyrians in jeopardy. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, the Assyrians have always been in that geographic area, and that geographic area, because of where it sits, has always been under conflict. Even if you look at the Khabar Valley, which is where the Assyrians were, had their villages in Syria, the Hittites and the Egyptians fought over that piece of land because it was still strategic. The land didn't move. The people may have changed.
Right.
The problem for the Assyrians is that Assyrians have their legitimate legal claim to that land. what happens in D.C. because we have so many different denominations that are trying to jockey for their denomination rather than for the overall security of the root of Christianity in the Middle East, that they continuously undermine each other and start referring to the Christians of the Middle East as Assyrians, as a collective, ethnicity-wise, the different denominations. They break them down into only denominations. And once you say, I'm the Christian, I'm an only Christian here, not only do you delegitimize their claim on the land, but you put them in the crosshairs of ISIS, ISIL, Al-Qaeda, Iraq, Al-Qaeda, and whatever else would come later on.
And the thing is, what we know about the culture is they're peace-loving. You know, it's a peace-loving culture. They're not looking to go to war, but I'll tell you, in some sense, you wonder why the Assyrians, but for their own, I guess, spiritual heart and their own belief in God, it's a wonder that they haven't put a band of, an aggressive band of offensive attacks against these people, because it's almost like, you know, they're just being overwhelmed because they're nice people.
Well, look, we have fought on the battlefields. Assyrians, as much as they're Christians, they're very much
But they're not aggressively going out. I mean, they're just protecting what's there. They're not going out and acquiring land like ISIS and Hezbollah, or tormenting their neighbors, right?
The reason being because it would be very difficult. Even when we had the Assyrian army on the battlefield and we were conducting defensive position operations, on our left was the Sunni Muslim Kurds. Behind us were the Iraqi Arab. And if we tried to move aggressively against ISIS that was in front of us to destroy him, we weren't so much worried about ISIS because we knew once we got into the battlefield we could wipe them.
Right.
Wipe them out from their position. We were worried about the Sunni Muslim Kurds shooting us in the back, or the Iraqi Arab moving his forces and taking a piece of property that we've already cleared. So at the end of the day, Assyrians would die and others would take their land, and we couldn't trust our allies. Even Israel, as much as it has struck deals with Saudi Arabia, as much as it gives money to the Sunni Muslim Kurds, it knows it cannot trust them. Mm-hmm. The problem is that Israel has nuclear weapons and has capability for structures to be able to counter against anything that those so-called allies, which are more enemies than allies, do against them. We do not have that capability because the nations of the world have decided to give weapons, support, and arms to our enemies rather than to be able to support their Christian brethren within the region, in this case, the Assyrian Christians within the region.
Sargis, how can our listeners get involved and help with the cause?
For us, it's very simple. United Assyrian Appeal, 501c3, whatever donation comes, goes to the multi-families. And I would recommend them to read what we have been writing on the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. Maybe in the future, Bill, we'll have you back again to support our cause some time before the end of the year.
Always happy to do that. Whatever you need me to do, Sargis, you can count on me. Again, UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org is the website. That's where you want to go to donate, to get educated, to understand what's going on. And then the next thing you do is you pick up the phone or send an email to your congressman, congresswoman, your senators, and let them know that you support the Assyrians. Sargis Sangari, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Sargis. Appreciate it, buddy. God bless.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they're able to work it out. So my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
When I was